I didn't get as many trivia questions right this week as other weeks. There's some tricky ones in there. That's for sure. Thankfully, well, the last question was a little bit easier, I thought. So I ended on a good note. That's always good. Well, good morning, everyone. And happy March. Our call to worship this morning is a prayer. But rather than closing our eyes and praying, I would invite you to stand. And in standing, I'd invite you, if you feel comfortable, to put your hands out with your palms open. We put our hands out with our palms facing upwards as a way to receive. God of grace, you have brought us from slavery to freedom, from despair to hope, from death to life. In you we find healing. Holy is your name. In your presence all our fears are washed away. May the presence of your Holy Spirit inspire our worship. May our words and our music, our thoughts and our prayers bring honour and glory to your holy name. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. He was despised and rejected by mankind. A man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one with whom people hide their face. He was despised and held in low esteem. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds we are healed. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honour and glory and praise. And gracious God, we just come to worship you today, to receive from your Spirit something new and something fresh. We come because we want to be here.
Yes.
We come to honour your worthy name. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honour and glory and praise. Amen. Please take a seat. I've got them on my phone. Just make them up. All right. Chris, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your family?
Okay. I'm Chris, and I have three children. I had twins first, which was a boy and a girl, and then I had another boy. And I have seven grandchildren. Sorry? This is all about me.
How do you like to relax, Chris?
I love to relax by doing craft. I'm a very crafty person. I also like to read and I like to nap, like Bill. I like to stretch out in my chair and have a nap.
I love doing naps. I like them too. I wonder if I have to have a special birthday to qualify for afternoon naps.
No.
Oh, no. Maybe the kids do when they leave home. So how long have you been part of the Gungahlin Salvos?
About 17 years. Came around about the same time as Anne. Where's Anne? There's Anne, over in Mitchell.
And what groups are you part of here? And how can other people be part of the groups you're part of?
My group, the group that I'm part of, is mainly children's ministry in whatever shape or form that takes. And anybody else who would like to join children's ministry is very, very welcome. When I first became a Christian, it was in a tiny little church that didn't have hardly any people, but had quite a few children. And like within a couple of weeks of me becoming a Christian, I started teaching children's church. That sounds wrong, doesn't it? But I learned along with the kids. As I was preparing my lessons, I was learning, and it was such an incredible learning experience. So if it doesn't matter if you think you don't know stuff or if you, you know, whatever, please come and join us in children's church. It's great.
While you're there, Chris, a little bit about playtime.
Oh, yes, playtime. Yeah, I forgot about playtime. Playtime is on Wednesday, and we meet here, and we have a whole bunch of little children from birth up to going to preschool, and they come here and they play games and they sing songs and they do craft, and their mums or carers get to have a coffee and have a chat, and it's lovely. And you can join us with that too.
Lots of help is needed for playtime. It's incredible. Last week we had to scrape the bottom of the barrel for someone to lead playtime. It was like the bottom of the barrel, let me tell you. I definitely needed an afternoon nap after that. But playtime, I'm just taking some of your time, but playtime is an incredible time, and it really is an expression of our community. It's lots of different nationalities here, lots of different kids of all shapes and sizes, and they just come and they have a wonderful time. And the love, particularly these kids have for Gillian and Chris, and that is just absolutely amazing. And the ladies, the mums, and the carers that come, incredible people. So if you have a chance on a Wednesday, even if it's not regularly, just to pop in and say hello, I think you'll be blown away about what happens here at playtime. I think this week there must have been almost 20 kids here on Wednesday, so it's just an incredible ministry that we have. So what's your, sorry for taking more of your time, but what's your favourite Bible passage and why?
I think probably if I had to choose one, it would be, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for good and not for evil, plans to prosper you and give you a hope." And that has proven true from the time I invited Jesus into my life until right now. Plans for good and not for evil.
And finally, we're in the season of Lent leading up to Easter. Does Lent mean anything special for you?
I was raised in the Catholic Church, and so Lent was a formal sort of a thing that everybody did and denied themselves of something during Lent. And then when I became a Christian, it's not something that I necessarily enter into a lot. A couple of years ago, the Children's Church kids challenged me to give up coffee for the whole period of Lent, and to put the money that I saved into self-denial. I did that. At the end, I was not very well. But I don't particularly give up something. I just am aware of the days leading up to Jesus' death and resurrection.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. It was wonderful to learn a little bit more about you. Well, it's that other time of the meeting that we all look forward to, isn't it, Caitlin? The master of disguise herself is going to come back. So, kids, would you like to come down? I'll even bring your own chairs. That's how look at these kids. They're so organized today. Hold on. Check this out. Did you guys message each other and plan to almost... Look at this. Almost... pants, like the what's going on here? Like opposite type. Wow. Is it planning? Like there's some other people here that have planned their outfits as well, navy pants and white shirts. But look at these kids planning their outfits the same. Wow. That's pretty cool. All right, any other kids want to come down? All right, here we go. All right.
Go to the next slide.
Hello, friends. The Awakening is back. And I have an important message for you, but I need your help. Please help me by holding a message for all to see and read. Okay, so can we read the verse out, everyone? Now, do you guys have this committed to your memory now? Because we're going to remove some words. Okay, well, I'm going to take away this one. And I'm going to take away this one. Okay, can you guys read it again? And try to include the missing words. Good job. Okay, I'm going to remove some more words again. Let's see. Thank you. Okay, and I'm going to take away this one. Okay, now, do you guys remember the verse? Good job. I'm going to remove the last two words. And now, you have no words. Can you say it one more time? Good job. You are all superheroes for memorizing this important message. Well done. Why do you think this message is so important? If you have worries, you can just pray to God. Believe it or not, even superheroes like me worry about things or get scared. When I don't understand what's happening or I am afraid, I am reminded of the fact that Jesus wants us to trust him and give him our worries. Why? Because he cares about me and you. Don't forget to talk with God and let him handle your problems. He loves you and he cares about all that you're going through. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for your words of love and comfort that we learned today. Help us to remember that a promise as we go through tough times and we are worried or anxious about something. We trust you, we love you, and we know that you care for us deeply. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'll be back next week.
Our territorial leader, Miriam, was over in Indonesia last week. And just trying to get the exact... She was over there. There is 92 cadets in college in Indonesia at the moment. It's incredible, isn't it? 92 people becoming Salvation Army officers over there. There was... Maybe I saw it on here. She had something on there that there's something like 15,000 soldiers over in Indonesia, more than here in Australia, and the percentage of it being a Christian nation is in like single digits or something. So the work of the Salvation Army in Indonesia is absolutely incredible, and anything we can do to support that, I'm sure, would be a great blessing to them. This morning, our theme is Jesus Heals Us. We're going to move into a time of prayer, and our brass group's going to help us with that. Let's sing through a song that says, "Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here." But in verse 3, it says, "He comes to cleanse and heal, to minister his grace. No work too hard for him, in faith receive from him. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place." What I'd like to do is, for our time of prayer this morning, is we're going to sing through the three verses. And then I want to encourage us to be still. To be still and silent before God, just for a period of time. It's incredibly uncomfortable to be still and to be silent. But I just want us to be still and to be silent. And to allow God to minister His grace to our hearts. Lord, in the chaos of life, it can be difficult to be still. Help us, Lord, to learn to be still in your presence. And in the stillness, Lord, may we see your grace ministered in our life. May we see your healing power working afresh. In faith, Lord, we receive from you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Generous God, all we have comes from you and has been given to us as stewards that we might live and love as your beloved children. As we bring our gifts this morning, we come as healed people because your healing touch frees us. You release and empower us to become who God created us to be. You are interested in the kind of health that makes us holy people. May we be people of faith. I ask this in the name of Jesus, who gave his life so that we all can be healed. Amen.
Bible reading this morning is taken from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. It's titled, Jesus Forgives and Heals a Paralyzed Man. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowering the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take up your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." May the Lord add his blessing to our reading.
When I picked up this series for Lent, it got to this topic, and if I was completely honest, this was one week I was almost prepared to skip, because this idea of healing is one that frustrates me. Frustrates me because I've prayed for healing for people a lot. They don't often get it. Whether it's physical or mental or spiritual, it's not one that always comes to fruition. So this topic of healing is one that I find a little bit frustrating, if I'm completely honest with you. But as I read through it, this story in Mark 2 really, really spoke to me about healing in a different sort of way. So there's a story told about a recovering alcoholic who became a believer. And he asked, "How could you possibly believe all the nonsense of in the Bible about miracles? You don't really believe the idea that Jesus changed water into wine, do you?" someone said to him. And he responded, "Sure I do. You see, in our house, Jesus changed the whiskey into furniture. When I read that illustration, it helped me think about healing a little bit better. Helped me think about miracles in a different way as well. See, for a lot of people, they would think, oh, well, he's just saved the money he would have spent on the whiskey and bought furniture. But something remarkable had to have happened in his life in order for him to first give up that whiskey to be able to do that. In the Bible, we have 37 miracles that Jesus performed, and we know there must have been more, possibly thousands of more miracles that were never written down. Jesus was and still is in the business of performing miracles. It's another story I read this week. A man, has to be a man, doesn't it? A man was putting some colour bond or tin onto his shed when all of a sudden he slipped and he began to slide down the roof. He cried out to God to save him when no sooner had he got the words out of his mouth, a nail caught his pants and stopped him from falling. When he stopped, he said, "Never mind, God, I took care of it myself." I wonder if the problem isn't that God doesn't perform miracles anymore, is that perhaps we don't give him credit when he deserves it. Jesus works through the Holy Spirit, through people, through medicine and science, to heal people physically, spiritually and mentally. And God is still absolutely doing the unexplainable, the miraculous, even today. His divine work is at play in and around us. But with all the doctors and all the science and all the government people and all the things around to help us, why do we need a Jesus that heals? Why do we need a Jesus that heals? Simply put, because there is suffering. Physical, emotional, mental, relational, spiritual suffering in the world today. There's consequences and situations that we live in that have no real reason other than the fact that we live in a broken world. Friends, we need a Jesus that heals because God is sovereign and Jesus has defeated sin and death. But we are human. We are fallen, broken people. And until we are reunited with Christ in heaven, we need Jesus. It's as true today as it was 2,000 years ago during Jesus' earthly ministry. So in this passage in Mark, it opens with the scene of a crowd breaking down the doors to get a view of Jesus. Jesus is at a home, preaching to the crowd, and four men come carrying a paraplegic in a bed. And able to get close to Jesus because of the size of the crowd, the four men come up with an absolutely absurd plan. They drag their paralyzed friend to the top of a roof, cut a hole in the roof and lower the man down in front of Jesus in order to be healed. Now, when I read this story, maybe I've got a twisted mind, but when I read that story, the first thing that comes to mind is a Monty Python skit. I kind of get a bit of a comical view about what's happening here. When you think about it, you envisage four men trying to drag a paralyzed man up some stairs or whatever they would have had then. It doesn't take much imagination to speculate on the yelling, the near falls. Oh no, he's about to fall off. The fuss, the chaos that this must have caused. And there's Jesus in the house giving a sermon, and all of a sudden the roof is coming down on top of him. You know, part of the roof might have been falling down. You know, it would have caused a scene. Then the four men finally break through the roof and they lower their friend down. Now, I don't get this picture of a Mission Impossible, you know, that scene in Mission Impossible when he jumps down, no dramas at all. When I read that, I get this story that these four men trying to lower someone down. Oh no, he's about to fall. Balance him, you know. It must have been chaos. They're hoping and praying that he doesn't tip off the bed and fall flat in front of Jesus. But this isn't a comedy act. This is an act of desperation by four friends. Mark tells us that Jesus saw their act as an act of faith. And from their posture of faith, Jesus heals. The healing occurs because of faith, not to produce faith in others. Think about that. There's other times where things happen in order to produce faith, but the healing occurred because of faith. These friends wanted to bring their friend to Jesus for physical healing. They heard about his incredible acts of healing. They heard about his miracles. They knew that Jesus could perform another incredible, unbelievable act of healing. Yet Jesus' initial response to their actions is to forgive the man's sins. This probably wasn't what the men had in mind when they lowered their friend down. However, it is this statement that sparks conflict and pushes the story forward. This idea of forgiveness is what the scribes, the religious experts, don't like. Who does Jesus think he is, they say? Who has the ability to forgive sins except God alone? It's clear that the religious elite are having trouble making sense of Jesus' claim. So perhaps sensing the tension in the room, but more likely it was going to be part of his plan all along, Jesus tells the scribes that he's going to do something to show that he has the power to forgive sins. He's going to tell the man to stand up, take up his mat and walk. In Mark 2 it says, "I want you to know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." This is language that Jesus uses. It's a reference to a powerful character described in Daniel. So the religious leaders would have understood this sort of language that Jesus was using. But here Mark doesn't mess around with a detailed explanation about what happened to when this man was healed. He simply says, he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of everyone. The man is healed, he picks up his bed and goes on his way. Simple as that, according to Mark. Others see this and are amazed about what happens and start to praise God. In this setting, we see that healing can affect more than the person being healed. It has a domino effect on others. You see, healing builds other people's faith. When we see God's work, others are inspired and pointed towards Him. Healing can be painful as well. Anyone who has ever had to do physio after surgery knows that the healing process can be painful. Healing involves participation. See, those friends carried their friend. They cut a hole in the roof and they lowered him down. My guess is even before they had heard that Jesus was visiting, they cared for and were present for their friend. Healing involves participation. And this is the one that I always struggle with. Healing is not yours to determine. Healing is not yours to determine. God's timing, God's purpose, and God's will are always first. God is willing to heal. When you let God work in your life, he will do something. When you let God work in your life, he will do something. It could be a miracle. It could be a promise. It could be clarity. Or it could be simply not yet or no. How God works in your life and how Jesus heals in your life may not be what you expect, but he will do something. We have a God who is still working. We have a God who wants to heal. Do you believe in the Jesus that heals? Will you believe in the Jesus that heals? Will you let the Jesus that heals work in your life? The name of Jesus is a powerful name. In the name of Jesus, we have healing. In the name of Jesus, we can find true life. In the name of Jesus, every stronghold can be broken. In the name of Jesus, light shines in the shadows. The name of Jesus is available for every mind and for every heart. So I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Because I know there is peace within his presence. Our gracious God, we know that your name is a powerful name. We know in the name of Jesus, miracles, miraculous, incredible, unbelievable things can happen. So Lord, we speak the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for your healing power in our lives, in the lives of those that aren't doing too well, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would break all the darkness. Lord, that you would break the things that turn us away from you. And Lord, we pray, we plead, we humbly plead, Jesus, for our family. For our friends, for our community. May the name of Jesus be on their hearts and in their lips. May we see true transformation because of our faith in you. This, Lord, we ask in your name. Amen. This morning and in this week to come, may we each experience Jesus' healing power in our lives. Go in peace to love and serve our beautiful Saviour. Amen.